welcome back to Comic Book Storylines. I'm Brian Sorensen. You also know me as Bri the Comic Book Guy. I also go by Bri the Comic Book Guy on Instagram. You can also reach out to me, BriTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. So this is it. This is the big finale for Dark Crisis. It's been an interesting journey. If you are not too familiar with the DC Universe or anything that's gone on in it, this was one of the more recent events that they've had. DC likes to call them their events the Crisis. Even though they've had Final Crisis, we ended up with Dark Crisis after that. I don't write them, so I don't blame me. I just tell the stories. So what we're going to do is we have 5 issues left of Dark Crisis, and then I'm going to briefly go into what we're going to talk about in the next coming weeks. It's very exciting. So we're going to dive right in. The last book of Dark Crisis Young Justice. And Mickey Mixelplex, who's Mr. Mixelplex's son, had trapped Young Justice. We had Connor Kent, Superboy. We had Bart Allen, Impulse. And we had Tim Drake, Robin. Now, all three of those guys were some of the founding members of Young Justice. Now, when the Dark Crisis started, it's been revealed that Mickey wanted to take the heroes, these young heroes, put them into their own world where they can be happy. It's kind of like a catch-22 with these bad guys, some of them anyway. They try to help, but they help by being a-holes. And this guy is one of them. So Red Tornado and Wonder Girl had successfully found Young Justice, brought him back to the regular Earth. And I mistakenly said last week that they were back to the Hall of Justice. No, they were brought back to where Young Justice used to have their headquarters in Happy Harbor, Rhode Island. And they had like this Mount Justice, and they had a base of operations there. So they're brought back there. But Mickey followed them back, and he's not letting them go without a fight. Now, he, like his dad, Mr. Mixelplex, and don't blame me on this is how they did it, to defeat Mr. Mixelplex, Superman used to have him say, or spell, or look, or read his name backwards twice. That's not gonna work with Mickey. He's the next generation, so it's not gonna work that well. But Bart has a plan, Impulse has a plan, and he even says, I have a plan. It's unexpected, right? Impulse, but I think it'll work, I need your help, but I need you to distract Mickey. He's clearly occupied with his own impressiveness, as they always are, and he tells Wonder Girl, I think he hates women, charming guy, because Impulse is like the jokester or anything. So he tells everybody to keep him distracted while he does his plan. Well, Mickey, as they're getting ready to distract him and fight him, he flips a switch with his fingers, and they all lose their powers. Like, Robin loses his mouth, Connor goes invisible, Wonder Girl loses her powers, and Red Tornado, who's an android, becomes human. And all of a sudden she goes, now, Impulse, and he goes, huh, not so fast, Mickey. And he throws something at him. It's called a quantum entanglement. And Bart had been whipping it up with his speed force and everything. So Mickey's just like, huh, that's pathetic. It's not strong enough to heal me. Now, they break free, and he kind of disappears for a little bit. They're trying to figure out what happened to Connor, but he's invisible, so they can't see him. So he's got to come over to them. They find Mickey, and with their limited abilities, they try and fight off Mickey. But they slowly but surely start gaining their powers back because Mickey gets distracted. And Bart, he tries to rally the troops. He gets them, and he's like, oh, fine. And they convince him that, you know, this is not fair. You know, this needs to be a fair fight. You have powers. We have to have our powers. So that was the trick. They get him to give him back their powers. And then Bart's just like, okay, let's go. And all of a sudden, all the Young Justice guys grab a bit of that quantum entanglement, which is now huge and surrounding Mickey. He's like, he's like, I destroyed your trap. He goes, energy can't be created or destroyed even by a fifth dimension imp, which is basically what they call themselves. They end up making him disappear, and they celebrate quickly of what's going on. But then they remember that there is a little bit of a problem going on at the Hall of Justice, a little bit of a crisis, dark crisis, if you will. See what I did there? So they go off to do the good fight and help all their friends. That's the last issue of Dark Crisis, Young Justice. So next up is one of the three one-shots that we have for the end here. And the first one is Dark Crisis, The Dark Army. Damian Wayne, who's the current Robin, and son of Bruce Wayne, in case anybody hasn't been reading up on DC in quite a while. He's the current Robin. So he is watching all these guys around fight, and he, like his dad, isn't big on powers. Doesn't have a whole lot of powers. So he's come up with this plan that he needs a bare-bones squad, choosing carefully of where he needs to go. And he said, "I trust me, I have a plan. I can do this." So you're like, what's going on here? So he grabs a bunch of heroes. This character Sideways, Power Girl, Dr. Light, and he ends up with, and it's funny because he says here he needs muscle, transportation, energy, and brains. And he looks around the heroes for brains, and he goes, "Ha, Psy, that's just me." So he ends up just going, okay, and he's a bit cocky too. There's this one of these new characters, a sidekick, if you will. He calls her Red. And she's Red Canary, kind of like a backup Black Canary. And she's too new, and he doesn't really trust her. So they're going into these tunnels, and they've got a plan to cross over into some of the other Earths. Because they think that the multiverse contains many worlds. Infinite Earths have returned. They need to go to one of them that's unstable, and they need to follow this signal for an energy source, because he thinks once he knocks out the energy source, it'll be fine. So they're transported to Earth 53, which is basically the entire planet is apes, and the Justice League are apes. Like, they were like humans, but apes. You'll have to see it to believe it. But, Damian has this device that he can pinpoint where the pariah's signal is. And it turns out that if you remember going back to the original Crisis, the Monitor had like these giant towers that people were going after and trying to destroy. Well, Pariah has them. I think they look exactly like the ones from the original Crisis. It's not totally explained whether Pariah took over the ones from the Monitor or built new ones instead, but it's like a cosmic tuning fork, and they have to destroy this thing, and they need to blow it up, and it's just these guys. And they're attacked by shadow demons, obviously, but they have Dr. Light on their side, female Dr. Light, so she's taking them out pretty good. Power Girl's there for a power kick and everything like that. And the shadow demons, they all merge into this one giant, huge shadow demon. And Dr. Light uses her power, and she ends up being able to absorb some of Power Girl's like energy beams and shatters all of those demons in half. So they break into the big tower, and they're looking around, and Dr. Light is saying, "This place is familiar to me." They break into this tunnel underneath the tuning fork, and it looks something familiar that Dr. Light remembers from the original Crisis, because it's the same Dr. Light from the original Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they end up teleporting into the Monitor's satellite from the original Crisis, where he first gathered the heroes. They end up being in what's left over from that. The Monitor used his machinery to do certain things, and they're thinking, hey, we need to, maybe we can find something here to take them out. But then they trip this automatic AI system, and it's Harbinger. Now, if you remember Harbinger, she was Lila from the original Crisis, and she's got like an AI thing going, and she says, "Harbinger systems operational, shut me down immediately. All my systems were devoted to keeping the Dark Army locked out of the House of Heroes. They can't be allowed to breach the edge of the world." And Damian's like, okay, so you've been turned off for a while, Harbinger. The Dark Army isn't here anymore, but we can use you to break everybody free. But the Justice League Incarnate, we've seen some of these guys from the first issue, Justice League 75, they're taken over by the Dark Army. Now, keep it in mind that Damian is like Batman. He hardly has any powers. He's got like this ragtag, like two people that have powers, and the rest do not. They're just like, beings that have, abilities and everything. So fighting against the Justice League Incarnate, which is some pretty top tier guys. In fact, an alternate version, President Superman. And Damian's got this plan. He's talking to Dr. Light, and she has this plan with the AI Harbinger. She goes, you don't know what they're saying initially, but Robin says, Dr. Light, your powers are the only thing that's affecting the darkness. Same way you hurt the shadow demons, you're hurting these enemies because they have the darkness in them. And he goes, the Justice Society is out in the multiverse protecting worlds from the spread of the great darkness. What if we can get you there first? And then Harbinger, the AI, says that course of action is not recommended. No mind is meant to endure a cosmic conceptual space inside of their minds. So she's like, fine, I'll do it anyway. So she ends up merging with the AI and uses her pure light, and she sees what's really going on. Pariah's technology connected him to the great darkness. The monitor made me part of something too, like when the monitor created the current Dr. Light. And she said, something inside of me already shines across the multiverse. Not just these 52 worlds, but infinite ones. See, New 52, little screamer there. So she breaks into this light and manages to get the darkness sucked out of the Justice League Incarnate. So they're back to normal. So he's like, okay, so we got these guys. We need to go back and we need to kick some butt back in our own reality. But before that, one of the Justice League Incarnate, she says her power is multivision. She said one of her gifts is the ability to see your variant selves and determine your home reality. So she sees through all of the members of Damian's ragtag team, and she sees all the possible versions of what's going on. And she looks at Damian, she goes, you have a uniquely constant path ahead of you. It's not relevant to the task at hand. Let's go kick some butt. So she sees him, and you can see that he's dressed as Batman in like every one of the worlds. So it's kind of like a hint that he's always going to become Batman. I guess that's a spoiler for the rest of us, isn't it? Well, the next one shot is Dark Crisis Warzone. This is a little bit of a weird issue. It kind of takes place during the big final battle. We're going to see it more in the last issue of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. So this is kind of like running alongside where some of the heroes that don't have powers, they need some, firepower and everything. So they break into the weaponries of the Hall of Justice, and they get their weapons, and they're basically helping the heroes in their last ditch effort. We end up even seeing Steve Trevor, where he's trying to help out everybody. And you see from Steve's perspective, he's looking up at all of this battle going on, like, oh my God, there's such a just tragic thing going on. And you can see that the heroes are trying to rally, but we see that Spectre, the dark version of Spectre, looks like he's going to try and steal Steve Trevor's essence to try and make himself stronger. But Raven ends up chaining him up and forcing him out of Steve Trevor. Now, there's a bunch of little, like, one-shot stories here. Another one is we see one of Wonder Girl's partners is on Themyscira hearing about the Dark Crisis, and then you flash to her talking about the battle during the battle and her trying to rescue all these different people. And then the rest of the issue is the Green Lantern Corps' version of what's going on and seeing all the Green Lantern guys fighting back and forth. And then we see Damian's team right at the end. He comes back with his group, and Red Canary kind of helps out fighting the low-level bad guys and run into the recently returned Black Canary. They introduce each other, and then they start kicking some butt together. And that's kind of how it ends, where they all kind of have this big little powwow, and they're just like, all right, let's take these guys out together. So then we get to one of the last two. This is the shebang before the last shebang. In fact, the last part is going to be called the Big Bang. Dark Crisis on Infinite Earth 7 is next. This is the final showdown. Justice League and everybody versus Deathstroke, Slade Wilson. And we see that Dick Grayson, he's fallen down, but he looks like he's inside the darkness. He's in this dark world. And Slade comes out and he goes, are you ready for round two? And they're having this huge discussion where, I mean, they've had this back and forth going forever. And Nightwing blames Slade for everything that's going on. And the heroes, are taking out his body form while Dick Grayson is fighting the internal one within. So he's got two battles going on here. Now, we see a lot of different things going on in this part. Black Adam, he does something with his powers that are really interesting. For a last-ditch effort to fight the darkness and all the shadow demons and Slade, he screams while he's holding on the Slade, Black Adam, and all this lightning bolts come. And it's a huge two-panel page where he endows every hero. I'm not talking about just like one or two. He shares his powers with everyone. Everyone starts looking up in lightning now. But then as that happens, Slade wakes up. And I guess the lightning bolt shook the darkness out of Slade. He goes, I'm free now. What did you do? And he protected the heroes with his lightning. The darkness can't touch them. I've shared my powers, a piece of me, so we can defeat you together. And Slade's just like, yeah, you're just, you know, this is your weakness. You freed me from Pariah's darkness. But I already found a new home. And you can see that he's trying to take over Nightwing, Dick Grayson, and use his strength, his body, and everything for the new darkness leader. And while that's going on, the Dark Army is trying to take over the multiverse. You can see like these factions of the multiverse with all these numbers in it and the darkness spreading around. Then Dr. Light comes into the crowd, and she says, the monitor felt that Pariah felt what the monitor gave him was a curse. I believe it's a blessing. Pariah and the others before him failed to save the Infinite Earths because they wanted to control them to find perfection. But perfection is boring. The multiverse needs to be free to be infinite. And she uses her powers and blasts the Dark Army and ends up eradicating the Dark Army. And Mr. Miracle says the multiverse powers the infinite, and it's stable. The Dark Army has pulled away from where it and went back where they can go to. But Slade is still fighting Black Adam, having it out with them, just duking it out. And Black Adam steps up for one last fight. Nightwing is still battling the darkness, but he's still kind of like in the mind of Slade Wilson. So we see all of a sudden this light come out of Nightwing. And he reappears and knocks Slade out, like totally knocks him out. And his daughter wakes up, who's right there too, and he's like, you know, you need to stop. And he finally drops and he goes, I didn't want to hurt you like this, and then passes out. So then it's the aftermath now. The darkness passes, the sun's shining and everything, families reunited. Heroes who started it all return, Justice Society. The young celebrated, Titans and everything. Dr. Light is exploring her new connections to the multiverse. Justice League Incarnate is taking a watchful eye on the multiverse. Spectre is once again bonded and with the original host, Jim Corrigan, and everything's restored. Oliver Queen is still missing. For some reason, Oliver Queen didn't come back over. When he had that speech to rally everybody at the end, somehow he did not come back. So Slade's body is being kept in storage. They have him in like this tank, holding him prisoner and everything. His body was ravaged by that, so they know he's going to be there for a while. So the Mystics and everything are talking to the Justice League, and Zatanna says the Great Darkness continues to rest, quiet again, and it's unconcerned with us. It proves that Pariah's machine allowed him to tap just into a fraction of the darkness's power, but he was never connected to it. It was all in his head. And we see Flash. He's like, all right, there's one last thing that I'm worried about, something I've got to do right before the end. So everybody's trying to clean up. The Green Lantern Corps go away. We see Black Adam standing over the Hall of Justice being rebuilt. And what I thought was funny about this is one of the last panels that Black Adam is in. Now, this was right as the Black Adam movie was coming out. The artist made him look like The Rock in the last three panels, which I thought was pretty funny. So Superman and his son, John, they thank Black Adam for all their help, and they go flying off. Now, Dick Grayson is in Gotham, and he's visited by Batman, and they have this long talk about how Batman was proud of how he kept up with the mantle of being who he was and how he started out. It was kind of like a rundown of him being Robin and turning into Nightwing. And then he's like, it's why you were able to contain the spread of the darkness within yourself until the Infinite Earths were restored and Pariah's darkness faded away. Only you could have done this. You were the one that united everybody. So Nightwing's like, well, what about the Justice League? And Batman's like, there are no more Justice League. After what we've been through, the League felt that we needed time to rethink the Justice League. It needs more than just new members. It needs to find a new mission, a new legacy. And then Nightwing's like, I have some ideas. He's like, I have a plan. So they go fighting off and everything. And then we get to the mysterious epilogue. There's somebody who's standing in a room talking to a bunch of light people on a screen. And they're saying, this is no mere fantasy. Our world is in danger of a great catastrophe. We must do something. And they're like, we, after years of ignoring against and rebelling against the Council of Light, you finally stand before us and expect what? And this person's saying, there's dangers coming and we might need them. It was an opportunity to work with the heroes. There's no more Justice League and the heroes are left disorganized. And they feel only, and I feel they only add to our troubles. So instead, if they refuse to follow our orders, they will suffer incarceration. Like, this person is showing that all the heroes are eventually becoming in prison for some proposal. So this light organization rejects her proposal. You can see that it's a lady. And I knew kind of who it was from that point on, because there was a bunch of guys standing around her. And the Light Council is saying, metahumans are too dangerous to be controlled or imprisoned. We must take steps that will never be allowed to happen. You have our full permission to utilize every resource to fully eradicate humanoids from our world. And she ends up stepping into the light. And it's Amanda Waller with Peacemaker and an alternate Peacemaker and the Batman Who Laughs and a bunch of other characters, like some sort of secret Suicide Squad. And I was kind of thrilled about that because I really like the Suicide Squad and Amanda Waller is pretty sneaky. So we kind of have to wait until that's coming around like this year. They're finally getting to that this year. So we'll get to see eventually what DC has up their sleeves. And we finally get to the last part in our discussion of Dark Crisis. It's Dark Crisis Big Bang. And we open right up and it's Barry Allen, the Flash. And he says, I'm looking for the man who murdered me. And you're kind of confused, like, what's going on? What are you talking about? And if you're tied to the original Crisis, then you know who that is. And Kid Flash is there. And he's staring at what's called the map of the multiverse. He's been charting it. Dozens of parallel Earths, parallel universes, each vibrating with a unique frequency, but it's finite. Until now, the cosmic limitation on their number has been lifted, and we're recovering an infinite number of Earths. And he's recalling that they've been rediscovered. And Kid Flash is like, what do you mean rediscovered? He goes, restored to the most recent crisis thanks to the actions of the man called Pariah. For a while, a battle with a being called the Anti-Monitor eliminated all but one universe. He'd hoped to be its god. He's that powerful. And he explains pretty much what happened in Crisis on Infinite Earths, where he stopped the machine and he was killed by the Anti-Monitor. And he's like, okay, you see an infinite multiverse. I see a crime scene. The Anti-Monitor could still be out there getting ready to destroy entire realities. He needs to be stopped once and for all. So Kid Flash is like, can you beat him? He goes, no, this is strictly a recon mission. If we find him, we call for backup. So he kind of vibrates through the multiverse, showing all the different Earths, 23, 118, and I'll explain a little bit more about this later, 22, 27, all the different Earths that are out there. And he finally runs into the Anti-Monitor. He's on Earth 28 fighting like these android versions of the Justice League. And before they can leave, Anti-Monitor grabs Kid Flash. So Flash kind of does something that could potentially help him. He says, a Flash fact. The faster a body moves, the more its mass increases. And I am the fastest man alive. So you see him speeding around Earth. Kind of reminiscent to Christopher Reeve doing that in Superman 1. And he goes, I don't pull this stunt off very often. It's incredibly dangerous. Near infinite mass can easily deform space-time itself. I can't hold it for more than an instant. But when I back it with just the right amount of vibrational energy, and he slams right into the Anti-Monitor, and he calls it the mightiest punch in the multiverse. And you can see all the different Earths are kind of looking up like, huh, what just happened? So he's finally able to take down the Anti-Monitor, and he's using the help from all the other Earth's heroes. Like, he keeps doing it, and he keeps landing punches. And we see little nuggets from all these different Earths. We see Earth 66, which is the Batman 66, where you see Adam West and his Bane of characters. And then you see Earth 789, which is the Michael Keaton Batman realm and everything. But Anti-Monitor gets one good shot off at the Flash. And he's burning with this energy. And he looks like he's getting ready to kill the Flash. And he's got him, and Barry's like, no, I can't have this happen again. So then you see a big light hit him, and he goes, hey, Flash, I brought you some backup. And it's a bunch of different heroes from a bunch of the different Earths. And they start wailing on the anti-monitor, reminiscent of one of the Crisis on Infinite Earths issues. Flash gets back on his track, and he does his little speed thing again to get him a good punch. But he's got some help from, like, a different version of Green Lantern and Dr. Fate, where he opens this portal that could swallow Anti-Monitor whole. But he needs to be able to get him through this portal. So he uses the bad guys. Anti-Monitor kind of grabs him at the end and pulls him through. But right at the last second, a Batman Green Lantern version holds the rift open and pulls him out. And he goes, whew. That's great. And they go speeding off, he and Kid Flash speed off to go finish the rest of Dark Crisis, because this kind of takes place during the final battle and everything. Now, I wanted to note this, and I said it the first week, there's something very interesting at the back of this issue, and it's called The Note from the Notes of Barry Allen. He's charting the multiverse. So what DC did is every different divergence, continuity-wise, of DC, the comic books and everything, now are considered its own Earth. And there's a two-page thing where it has every Earth's number that he's charted, and they all have different things going on. And they're all different versions of the DC universe. Now, Earth Zero is designated the main Earth, home of the Justice League and everything. Like, Earth Two is where the Justice Society in America is, from New 52. Earth Three is the Crime Syndicate universe, where the whole superhero race is not superheroes, they're supervillains, and there's only one good guy, and so on. There's all these different Earths, and he's noted that one of them, which is really funny, there's an Earth that he has specifically here. There's one where he goes to where the heroes are in comic books. There's no heroes, but they're in comic books, and he notes that he goes to that Earth to pick up more comics for his personal collection. So you find out the Flash is a comic book guy, and he goes to another Earth where heroes, like on our Earth, I guess that would be called our Earth, where heroes are only in comic books. So he goes to another Earth to collect comic books. That is Barry Allen in its finest form right there. I thought it was hilarious when I read that, and I hope you did too. So that is our wrap-up of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. It started out as Dark Crisis, and then we got the pleasure of knowing that it was the direct sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is then when it called Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths. So I want to talk briefly about what we're going to talk about starting next week. It's something I'm very excited to start talking about, as I am with every one of these. This was one of my first two line-wide crossovers. Secret Wars 2 was the first one back in the 80s. This one ends up being in the 90s, the mid-90s. It starts off as an X-Men event and then crosses into being a line-wide event with all the different heroes. And it was something happens where things reboot. They didn't totally reboot, but some of the titles ended up starting over at issue one. But I'll explain that towards the end of that. So if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm talking about Onslaught. Now, what we'll do next week is that there's several things that ramped up to Onslaught. A lot of things that I'll need to explain if you're not a fan of the X-Men or know any of the stuff that went on. That's what I'm here for. So when next week comes, what we'll start doing is we're going to start talking about what led up to the events in Onslaught. Kind of like there was a bunch of issues where he briefly appeared or briefly mentioned, or something happened and they're all like, who's this Onslaught guy? What's going on here? Because they didn't know who he was at all until he suddenly appeared out of nowhere. And there was little hints and everything that it kind of left ramping up to the big clash that ended up starting the big storyline. So we're going to start off with that as much as we can in the first episode, and then we'll pick up in the second one. But we're eventually going to get to see a few story arcs from the X-Men that have been kind of dangling since the early 90s when they did the great reboot when the Jim Lee X-Men Volume 2 series started and they branched off in their two teams when Bishop first appeared, because Bishop is greatly tied to what happens in the beginning of it. And something that Bishop came back and told everybody about that happened ends up happening in a spectacular way. But I'll start explaining that once we start talking about Onslaught next week. So until then, thanks for listening.